speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
There's a statement of Jesus that is so plain and yet is so controversial. It's so controversial that rarely you hear it referred to by preachers, whether in their churches or on television or radio. And then it seems that when they do, they feel it necessary to give an explanation that goes against the very clear statement of Jesus. I have reference to the words of Christ found in Mark 16, verse 16, which says very plainly, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, to illustrate what I said earlier, that it seems that some people want to avoid this verse or they want to explain it away, I want to look with you at four different views of this verse as taught by men, and then contrast those views with the one plainly stated by Jesus. And not only plainly stated by Jesus, but supported by his apostles in their teaching and preaching. Now, the first view is one held by those who do not profess to be Christians, but for the purpose of our lesson should be considered. In essence, they would say, "He who believes and is baptized will not be saved." Now, there are a number of groups that would hold this view, whether they express it or not. The first would be the atheist, for they do not even believe in God. They do not believe in heaven, do not believe in hell, do not believe in salvation of any kind. That we're here through the product of chance, through the process of evolution, and when man dies, that's the end. He has no soul. So the atheist would say, "He who believes and is baptized will not be saved." We might add to that the Jews, the Muslims, the Hindus, those who believe in a God or believe in gods, but who do not believe that salvation is to be found in Jesus Christ, and that to believe or to be baptized is contrary to the will of God. But those who accept Jesus and the authority of his apostles reject this view. For there is a God who offers salvation, contrary to the views of the atheists, the Muslims, the Hindus, or maybe the Jewish people. For the Bible says very plainly, I have mine open to 1 Timothy chapter 2. "This is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now, what's written here by inspiration in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through verse 6, is that salvation comes only through Christ, contrary to the views that would be expressed by atheists or those of Eastern religions. After all, in John 14, verse 6, Christ himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So the religion of Christ is a very exclusive religion. There is one way, and Jesus is the way. Peter proclaimed in Acts 4, verse 11, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Well, there may not be anyone that would actually express this view that he who believes and is baptized will not be saved. But by actuality, that is what they are expressing when they fail to acknowledge Jesus as being the Christ, the Son of God. But there is a second view of Mark 16, verse 16. And that view would be expressed, "He who does not believe and is not baptized will be saved." Well, that's a view that would be held by universalists. For you see, they believe that God will save everyone eventually. And to support their view, they may isolate some verses, like 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." And they would say, all means everyone. Or like John 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That Jesus was given for all mankind, and indeed he was, but there are conditional promises. And so the idea that he who does not believe and is not baptized will be saved is a false view. Those who know the teachings of Christ, those who know the writings of the inspired apostles, will reject that view very quickly. For Jesus himself told us that there would be few that would be saved. He said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and strait is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So our Lord says the majority are going the broad way that will lead to destruction. And the inspired apostle Paul warned of those who would not be saved but would face the wrath of God when he said in Ephesians 5 verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." God's wrath will be meted out in judgment day, and those who have not accepted Christ will be turned away. Most Bible-believing, professing Christians would never treat Mark 16:16 the way these first two views that we've noticed this afternoon. But as we consider two more views, we may begin to start hitting a little closer to home. But please understand that we do so desiring to speak the truth in love. And we pray that your love for the truth is such that you're willing to seriously consider the following views, and that you would have the attitude of the Bereans, of whom we read in Acts 17, verse 11, that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. May that ever be our attitude. But now, a third view of Mark 16, verse 16, could be expressed this way: he who does not believe and is baptized will be saved. Well, this view would be held by those who would practice infant baptism, and the practice of baptizing babies or infants who do not believe, and yet they're baptized. And we need to explain here that baptizing of infants is really a substitute, because the word baptism is a transliteration from the Greek word baptizo. The translators just gave an English spelling to the word. And that word means to dip, to plunge, to submerge. And the idea of sprinkling a little water on a baby's head is really not immersion. That's not baptism. But those who practice that indicate that faith is not essential to salvation. And then there are those that try to get around this by saying that God imparts saving faith to the infant so that baptism will be appropriate for him. By sprinkling or pouring instead of immersion, they try to indicate that Jesus did not mean what he said, that the reason the person is baptized does not have to believe but will be saved. Or the group that practices substitutionary baptism, that one can be baptized for a deceased relative, and this baptism on the part of the living one can benefit the dead. They would be saying in actuality that he who does not believe and does not even be baptized, but has someone been baptized in his name, will be saved. But friends, speaking the truth in love, we must point out that faith is a necessary prerequisite in salvation. In Acts 8, verse 35, the Ethiopian was asked by Philip, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And he went up into the chariot. He taught him Jesus. And when they came to water, he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he acknowledged that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And then upon that faith, they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him. And that eunuch, that treasure under the Ethiopian queen, went on his way rejoicing in salvation because he's obeyed the gospel of Christ. And again, in speaking the truth in love, we point out that faith is absolutely essential because in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So friends, that sprinkling or that pouring upon an infant is not Bible baptism. It is not an immersion. And baptism is described in the Bible as being a burial. In Colossians 2, verse 12, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him." Or Romans chapter 6, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Christ shed his blood in his death, and we receive that cleansing blood when upon our faith we're baptized into Christ." But many are following the traditions of men. And then there's the view, "He who believes and is not baptized will be saved." This view is held by those who believe in salvation, maybe by faith only, that one is saved before baptism, that it's not essential to salvation. And this view is held by many people in various denominations. But Jesus and his apostles clearly taught differently. And James says, "Faith without works is dead, being alone." And you see how that by faith alone, one cannot be saved. There must be faith in Christ. There must be a repentance, a turning away from sins, as he commanded Luke 13, verse 3. There must be the confession of faith in Christ. One is then a proper candidate to be baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. So the idea that he who believes and is not baptized will be saved is not taught in the Word of God. But Mark 16:16 clearly teaches, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Will you take the words of Christ? Will you take God's teaching and reject the ideas of men? We pray that you will.